Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Enter the USA, and what's the impact on black people globally? Stay with us as we discuss this exciting topic this evening.
Babylon called America, where chaos, confusion, and hatred reign supreme. But the rhythm plants the seeds of freedom. So we overcome with the rhythm.
Welcome once again. Yes, we are the drum, calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Again, welcome. Welcome to Dare to Win. This is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of black people and the imperative to build family-centered, group-owned cooperative businesses that guarantee our self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Us Lifting Us has developed an exact methodology of how to do this and pass it forward to future generations. Again, welcome to Dare to Win. We are here every Thursday evening starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're here from 9 to 10, and we welcome you and appreciate having your participation in our program this evening. To join the conversation, please call 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789, and then press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question. And if you want to join us via your computer, simply go to www.usliftingus.com and then click on the Ulu Radio tab. Then click on Listen Live, and you can join us this way, that way. Thank you. My name is Sister Nanana, and I'm going to be your host this evening to assist in guiding us through this very interesting topic that we're having. And joining us this evening is Brother Madike. Brother Madike is joining us all the way from London. And Brother Madike is a board member of Us Lifting Us, originally from Senegal, but now residing in London. And Brother Madike, would you care to say hello and greet our listening audience?
Yeah, greetings, Sister Nanana. Thank you for highlighting the background. I am Brother Madike, based right now in the UK, originally from Senegal. And I'm saying, I pass all my greetings to the audience tonight. Thank you.
Well, we are truly excited to have you, and thank you so much for being with us this evening. And I think it's especially meaningful with the time difference, because this is like 1 a.m. in the morning for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is actually 2 a.m. Exactly.
Oh, 2 a.m. in the morning. I almost had it right. Okay.
Yeah.
2 a.m. in the morning in London.
Yeah.
And it's 9 p.m. Eastern. And we really appreciate your dedication and your willingness to be with us to talk about this subject this evening. And so let's just go ahead and get right into it, Brother Madike. The subject that we're talking about this evening is, what African countries, which ones, are banned for entering the United States? And what's the impact on Black people globally of having these countries banned? So to start our subject this evening, Brother Madike, please share with us, what is your viewpoint on why the subject of these countries being banned from entering the U.S., why is this worthy of our time this evening to dialogue and to share some information around it? What brought you to the point where you felt it was important enough to talk about it?
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Nanana, for this opportunity and for this interesting topic that we're going to discuss tonight, of the African countries being banned from entering the U.S. I believe that this topic is really, really, really important in terms of the current events that we are living under. We recently have another brother being shot by the police in the United States. We have the coronavirus going on right now with a clear restriction. Black people are basically being restricted from basic health and well-being necessities. In the same way, Black people are being restricted from access to capital, from basic education, from housing, through gentrification. So I think this topic falls right on time, and we need to discuss that, knowing that there's an election in the United States that's going to be happening in November.
You are absolutely right. There is an election coming up in November, and many of the other items that you've mentioned are in the forefront of many of our minds. Yes, there has been another shooting of a brother here in the U.S. It just appears to be ongoing, that this is not going to stop anytime soon. So all of these circumstances that you are talking about are continually making themselves very prevalent. And so there are many who would say there is absolutely no doubt that we as a race of people are under siege and that we are definitely at war. So to continue along that thought process, Brother Madike, and I know we're going to get more into talking about how this relates to the banning of these particular nations from coming into the U.S. Are there any other thoughts in specific that you want to share with us concerning any of the recent political events or you know, what's happening with the appointing of Kamala Harris to run as the vice presidential candidate? Any other comments around that to help give us some foundation for what's happening with banning these African countries?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Sister Banana. You know, I wanted to add something earlier on when I said that these topics comes right on time. In the same week that the brother got shot, we had, and I think this is done by design, this is not coincidence, we had three African countries that have been added to the list of banned countries entering the United States. Those three African countries are Tanzania, Sudan, and Nigeria. And I believe this is a very, very interesting topic for us to study, because what we are coming to realize is that there are restrictions and there's a pattern of treatment on both arena, on the domestic policy of the United States towards Black people and the international global policy towards African descent people. And I believe that the recent appointment of Kamala Harris will not change anything. I think what we're going to see under the Joe Biden presidency mandate, we might see the same things going on, status quo for African people. And this is where we have to wonder ourselves and realize that we won't have any representation. We won't have any politician coming to save us. This is something that we have to take on our own and build our own protection, build our own economy and geopolitics.
So what I hear you saying, Brother Madike, is that that what we see in terms of our being subjected to just totally inhumane and insane treatment, having this happen on a local basis, having it happen on a global basis, that this is all part of a very intentional process or plan, and that we have to take responsibility ourselves for making it in, that nothing magical is going to happen with the upcoming election. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm kind of paraphrasing what I think I heard you say, that that this ill treatment is happening worldwide, and having Tanzania, the Sudan and Nigeria being put on a list of countries whereby the people cannot enter the U.S., that is all part of that process. So before we go any further, I just want to once again remind our listeners The number to call if you'd like to join the conversation is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789, and then press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question. And for those of you who are joining us via your computer, it's www.usliftingus.com, and then click on the Ulu Radio tab and then click on Listen Live. Let's continue, Brother Madike, and you mentioned 3 countries from Africa, specifically Tanzania, the Sudan, and Nigeria. Are there others? Are there more than just those 3?
Yeah, thank you, Sister Nanana. I think it is important to highlight the fact that there are more than 3 countries, because these are the 3 countries added to the earlier list of countries banned from entering the U.S. Out of 15 countries, 8 are in the African continent. And those 8 countries are Tanzania, Sudan, Nigeria, Eritrea, Libya, Somalia, and yeah, this is the list of countries that we have. In major part in the African continent on the list. So what is interesting to point out is that there are alleged reasons and mainstream reasons from banning those countries entering the U.S. The reasons are terrorism, lack of human rights, dictatorship, or bad governance. But when you dig into it and investigate, come to realize that the real reason why these countries are being banned is basically their relationship with the U.S., their economic growth, which is really dynamic. For example, the fact that Tanzania has the fastest growth in the African continent. This is not by coincidence that you want to restrict access to capital, access to the United States, which is the biggest market on the planet Earth. You want to restrict Tanzanian people to access those markets and to access those capital.
You're fading out a little bit, Brother Madike.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you
can
speak
hear me
a little
well?
Bit more into the mic, yeah.
Yeah, so what I was saying is, when you are restricting people from entering the country, you are not only restricting people, you are restricting access to capital and access to market for that are crucial for growth. Yeah.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is that this has been done very strategically. Particularly when you mention Tanzania is one of the fastest growing and more robust economies on the continent of Africa. And so the restricting of Tanzania from being able to those individuals to enter into the U.S. certainly would have a negative impact on their ability to do business with the U.S. So I think that's the picture that I'm starting to get, is that this is all being done for reasons of trying to suppress or to somehow control their economies. Is that correct? Is that your perspective?
Yeah, that is definitely the perspective that is being drawn upon us. We have countries that are developing at a fast pace and that are being slowed down and restricted. Like for the example of Tanzania, there are other reasons than economics. The fact that Tanzania refuses to host a military base, a U.S. military base, this is another reason why they are being restricted and banned. And for the case of Sudan, Sudan has been asked to pay the United States $500,000 to be taken off the list. So really what we are seeing is a country, the United States, expanding his domestic policy internationally towards black people by these restrictions.
And so what I'm picking up on real easily here and pretty quickly from what you're saying is that these restrictions, this is punishment for them. Tanzania is being punished for not accepting or allowing a U.S. military base to be established in Tanzania. And the Sudan is being punished for not literally not succumbing to, it sounds like extortion is what it sounds like to me. I mean, we're talking, what, how many millions of dollars was the Sudan asked to pay in order to be taken off the list?
$500 million.
$500 million
sounds like are being asked by half a billion.
Half a billion. That sounds like extortion to me. And what has been, what reason has, I don't know if the U.S. is the only one that's doing this. We're talking specifically about the U.S. right now. But what is the reason or the rationale that's been given for placing these countries on a list of banned, you know, to ban people from these African countries from coming here? What has been given as the reason or the logic for doing that?
So the alleged reason, Tristan and Nana, preventing from those countries from entering the United States for permanent residence are lack of human rights, democracy not being supposedly respected, and risk of terrorism, which is interesting because when you look at the risk of terrorism, when you look at the scientists and geopolitical analysts, you see more Saudi Arabia, countries like Saudi Arabia, Algeria, Qatar, the Emirates. Yet those countries are not being restricted from entering the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And they even have increased relationship and deep ties with the United States in terms of economics and political relationship. So we don't really understand the logic, and we don't really buy into the rationale that is being thrown upon us when it comes to banning those countries entering the U.S. I think that the real reasons are the ones that I was talking about, military base and economic growth, wanting to be controlled, the United States wanting to control their economic growth. I think that, to me, that I believe that those are the real reasons.
Exactly. That, yeah, it seems clear to me that those would be the reasons, especially when you look at the other countries who are not being banned. And certainly their activities around terrorism and some of the other things that you mentioned really do stand out much more so than the African countries that you mentioned. So there is, from my perspective, there's definitely something underlying going on here for sure. Okay. Well, we're going to delve deeper into this subject right now we're going to take a short music break for just a couple of minutes. Please stay with us, and we will continue discussing what African countries are banned to enter the U.S. and what's the impact on Black people globally. Be back with you in a couple of minutes.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, yeah, just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before the judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away?
Well, we're back with you. Thank you so much for being with us on Dare to Win. This is Sister Nanana, and I am your host this evening. This is the regular Thursday night broadcast for the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. We are here every Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard with our radio program, Dare to Win, the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of our people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and contribute to our wholeness. And this evening we have with us Brother Madike. He is a board member of Us Lifting Us, originating from Senegal, now living in London. And Brother Madike is speaking with us this evening about what African countries are banned to enter the U.S., and what's the impact on Black people globally? All right, let's continue, Brother Madike. Before we took our music break, you did share with us some of the countries that have been banned by the U.S. from entering, and you helped us to understand that this is really a political and an economic move. From my perspective, it's aggression, and it's almost, I would say, an act of war or terrorism, especially considering what you've explained about the economic growth and the potential, particularly of Tanzania, the Sudan, and Nigeria, being three of the major countries that have been targeted, that cannot, their residents cannot come into the U.S., and how that can affect the economy. So let's move on with some more discussion around that. Brother Madike, what it seems to me that a global African economy would be of great benefit in this type of a situation. And so what do you see that might be the benefit of having that global African family type economic system that would help us to cope in this situation and very possibly be able to help us transcend it to the extent that it would have minimal effect on us? I guess what I'm looking for is what might possibly be a solution. What are your thoughts around that, Brother Madike?
Yeah, thank you, Sister Nanana, for this powerful question. Interesting, as always. We are in the month of August. It's the month of the Messiah, Marcus Garvey. And Marcus Garvey, the ancestor, reminded us to unite as African descendant people, to unite in order to get power. Because, you know, once you get to a certain level of power, you are not being affected by any kind of restriction, by any kind of punishment, as you mentioned. It is time for Black people globally to unite in order to build their own economy, and in order to counterattack and protect themselves from those geopolitical attacks. And I want to remind our listeners that it is urgent for them to join ULU, Us Lifting Us, Global Economic Cooperative. ULU is an organization that will help in getting the global African family united. You can just go to the website, usliftingus.com, that's usliftingus.com, and get your membership. I think that would be a first step for us to get to that level of power, because there's going to be impact internally in the United States, but also internationally if we don't unite. We've seen those impacts with COVID. We are seeing them right now with the police treatment of our people in the United States. We are seeing it with these restrictions put in place. And I think this is not the end. I think we're going to see gradually more and more restrictions towards our people, towards our movement, towards our education, towards our development. It is time to unite.
And so thank you for that answer, Brother Madike. It sounds to me like what's at the core of what you're saying, especially when you reference Marcus Garvey, is that the very focal point of what is the resolution, the answer, not only to the situation with the countries being banned from the U.S., but a solution for us ongoing, that it really is around unity and around developing that economic format, that systematic economic base that we need to have, and we need to have it on a global level, not just here in the U.S., but everywhere that there are African-descended people. And once that occurs, then we literally cannot be harmed by actions such as banning and some of the other things that are going on. I see that there are a couple of people who have raise their hand, so to speak, who would like to ask a question. So, Brother Madike, I'm going to go ahead and take a couple of questions, and then we'll move on. Okay. Caller with the numbers 5080, please tell us your name and where you're calling from, and then ask your question or make your comment.
Yes, greetings, family. This is Akima from Atlanta. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, can hear you quite well, Baba Hakima, yeah. And thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Good. We're glad to hear the voice of our brother, and I'd be interested to know, because I knew you were trying to get out of Europe to get back to the continent, but Europe
yeah.
won't let you go. What's happening?
Greetings, Baba. This is very nice to hear your voice. So what we have now is we have the airspace of West Africa, where I'm from, that are being controlled and restricted from I'm being restricted basically coming from Europe to enter Senegal, because Senegal has applied a reciprocity when it comes to traveling to the country. Basically, the European Union does not allow people from Senegal entering the European Union. And the alleged reason is COVID and coronavirus, which is very interesting, because you have much more people affected by coronavirus in the European Union than you have in Senegal. But basically, that is the reason. And Senegal is being by saying that if people are not allowed to travel to the European Union, nobody from the European Union should enter Senegal. So I'm just waiting for the lifting of that those restrictions, and I'll be able to get to the continent as quickly as possible, hopefully.
All right. Stay safe, brother.
Peace.
All right. And thank you for expressing that question and that concern, Baba Hakima. It's always good to hear your voice. All right. Okay, let's move on. We have another caller with a comment or a question. 7204. Would you give us your name and where you're calling from, and then your question or your comment?
Yes. Good evening. This is Deborah Jones calling from Richmond, Virginia. How y'all doing?
Doing well, Sister Deborah. Always
Greetings.
Good to hear your voice. Yeah, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. I just wanted to know, why is it so difficult for the African country to keep Europeans and foreigners out of the motherland? I would like to understand that, because to me, they just it's too many other people in our country. And I just wanted to ask that question.
Okay, and so the question is, why is it so difficult to keep non-Africans, foreigners, out of Africa? Because there seems to be a lot of them there. Yeah, do you have a response for us on that, Brother Madike?
Yeah, thank you, sister, for highlighting that question, which is a question, but also reality for us African people in the continent, having this influx of people that, you know, don't look like us, coming to control, to build businesses, and to invade our space. And when they are numbered enough, they end up being applying rules like apartheid in South Africa or Namibia. I think the reason why we don't have enough power to restrict those people entering the continent is because we are not united. We are not united. They come in numbers. They come with economic power. They come with organization. We need to be able to build our own organization to tackle them and to counter their invasion agenda. Basically, if we had us lifting us building businesses across villages in Africa, we would be in a much better economic power and much better state to counter those invasions. I believe so.
And if I might add something to that, Brother Madike, I don't know if this is going to turn out to be more of a question or a statement, but I'm just wondering whether or not another reason that has impacted the numbers of foreigners who have successfully been able to come into the motherland and literally set up shop and drain resources from the motherland, whether or not part of that reason hasn't been due to Africans in certain political positions who have agreed to make it easy for them to come into the country. So I can't help but think that that's part of the reason as well, because the proper restrictions, the proper legislations, the proper regulations have not been put in place either on a local level or on a international level to restrict them from coming in, just as in other countries, you know, their politicians, their lawmakers put certain laws and regulations in place that say, you know, you're from thus and so, you speak this language coming from this location, and so we're only going to have a certain number of you, or yes, we're allowing you in, but only for a certain amount of time, that type of thing, whereas those types of actions have not been taken by Africans who have been in political positions where they could have done that. So,
yeah,
that's
this
my
is, this is definitely
and,
part of,
and so
yeah.
What's your thought on that?
Yeah, and thank you for highlighting that again, Sister Nanana. That is definitely part of the reason and one explanation why you have these people coming in. And this is, I think my main point is that we're going to have to come to realize that this is not possible, that we're going to have to put policies in place to restrict them from entering the country, buying land, setting up businesses. Because what ends up happening is you have huge areas in the continent where you won't see any African descendant people. They're buying everything, and they are going to end up restricting us from trespassing, basically, for entering those space. We've seen that in South Africa, in Namibia, and we're going to see that again. If nothing's happening at the political leadership level, we're definitely going to see taking over of the continent happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Sister Deborah, for your question, and thank you for being with us this evening.
Thank you, Sister.
Thank you, for sure. And you mentioned, Brother Madike, the purchasing of the land. I think that's a piece that is, you know, we simply cannot put enough emphasis on the importance of that, because, you know, all wealth comes from the land, and possession, ownership, and the ability to control land is one of the major things that nations around the globe struggle over all the time. And it seems to me that some things in the motherland definitely need to change in that respect, particularly around the purchase of land. I can't say that I know this for a fact, but I doubt very seriously that it would be as easy for a person of African descent to go into another country, whether it was China or Sweden or wherever, and to purchase land and not be of that nationality, that those countries have laws and regulations that restrict the purchase of land, not the lease or the rental or whatever, but the actual purchase and ownership of land in many other countries is restricted to people of that particular nationality. And the reason for that is to maintain the strength of that particular country. So those are some of the hard lessons that have been learned and that are still being learned, I judge, things that need to happen in order to create more strength. And I see that we do have another question. So caller 3440, please state your name and where you're calling from, and then give us your question or your comment.
Greetings, Sister Lenana and Brother Madike. This is Brother Shabaka, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. It's so good to hear both of you, and particularly you, Brother Madike. I know that you are struggling in Europe trying to get back home, but it's interesting, trying to keep you from your home, you know, and keep you buried in the ice. it's good. I wanted to also add, because you spoke a little earlier about the economic and the things that might be keeping Africans from the continent, you know, to on this list from entering the United States. It's interesting that with the advent of COVID, prior to that, a number of African countries had, I believe, signed or were in the process of signing a free trade agreement, which would allow African trade internally to the continent. In other words, a way in which to integrate African commerce as opposed to having all of the resources going from the continent to Europe then and come back and finish products at exorbitant prices. So if you can, speak to that, because I know that back in the summer and early fall of last year, they had gotten that agreement, and the next thing you know, November, December, we had COVID, and then everybody started locking their borders. If you could, you maybe say a word or two about that. And the last point I wanted to make, that over here in the United States, I guess it started with Al Gore, you know, talking about global warming and climate change and all this. I was fortunate enough to be on a webinar with a brother from Ghana, I forget his name, who said it's difficult to talk about climate change and global warming without talking about the neocolonialism that fuels the puppets that fuel the and allow corporations to come in, extract the resources, which create the conditions by which global warming exists. So he says, if you want to really correct global warming, stop neocolonialism. That's my question and comment. If you have some point you would like to make on that, I would appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. thank you. Thank you, Baba Shabaka. Isn't now I want to say something?
No, go right ahead,
Brother
Madike, with your comments. Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are two interesting points that Baba Shabaka made. The first point being the integration of the African countries And we sense that. We can see a real pattern towards a united African continent. You see it in the East African countries that have integrated their passport. They only have one passport, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania. You can see that in the ECOWAS, which is the West African organization. This willingness of integration is the way forward, is the future. And when it comes to trade, Africans in the continent have come to realize that this is the only solution for us. So we're going to see more and more integration towards that. And if we could aggregate to that union, people from the Caribbean, people from the United States, people from wherever our people are, African descendant people, we're going to be free, we're going to be powerful, and we won't be affected by any restriction. So thank you very much, Roshabaga, for highlighting that. And the second point was global warming and climate change. The same companies that are promoting global warming, and by the way, the same companies that have funded Al Gore's campaign back in 2000 are the same companies that are creating global warming. So that's the only answer I have to that. So global warming is something that they're talking about within the boundaries of the United States and the Western world, yet they are committing high contamination, high global warming outside the Western world. Yeah, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, there's certainly a lot of food for thought that has been generated this evening by this subject. Thank you so much, Brother Madike, for introducing the subject to us about the banning of certain African countries from being able to have their residents come into the U.S. and helping us to see that there's a much larger picture that's associated with that, and that this is an act of war. This is a very aggressive act that has taken place. And I did hear you, you know, as far as how to deal with this, I did hear you tie this into the cooperative global economic initiative that ULU is putting forth. And so as we're starting to wind down here, I'd just like to give you an opportunity once again, if there's anything else you'd like to say about how you see us lifting us and the whole concept of family economics, the whole concept of having a global cooperative economy for our people, how you see that being able to impact not only this situation, but circumstances going forward.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Nana. I believe that us lifting us, ULU, as a group family, family-centered organization, is an opportunity for us to unite. I believe that ULU can be that protective house, that building power, that economic energy that our people need globally. For example, by building ULU villages, by building ULU safe houses, areas where our people can feel safe and protected and valued, and not being shot on the street by a police officer. So I invite the listeners who are not yet members to go to the website, uslistingus.com, uslistingus.com, and subscribe and get a membership for $50 in order to join the family and join the Ulu venture. So after that $50 is being paid, and after somebody becomes a member, I also encourage that person to buy, to acquire a unit, which is a $1,000 unit ownership in the Ulu asset. So that's, again, that's us lifting us.com. Let's build that Black economic power, family center economic ujama, us lifting us.com.
Thank you so much, Brother Madike. Thank you so much. And for some of our listeners who might not be aware, Us Lifting Us does have a global membership. We have members in many areas throughout the globe. In Haiti, we have members. We have members all over the U.S. We have a member in Japan. We have members in Cuba, South America. We have members in many places. So we are definitely growing globally. And I know, Brother Madike, you have already made a commitment that going back to your homeland, to Senegal, that you will be starting a what we call a base collective and enlisting people into Us Lifting Us in Senegal. And so we are definitely growing. We're in Canada. We are in many, many places throughout the globe. And so as our global membership grows, our strength definitely grows as well. So just want to thank you so very much, Brother Madike, for being with us this evening, for being up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning, your time, to be with us on Dare to Win. We definitely appreciate that. We appreciate you. And we will look forward to having you back with us again. And certainly we wish you safe travel for you and your family going back to Senegal. And thanks to all of our listeners. Tune in again and be with us next week on another Thursday evening to listen to Dare to Win, when we will have another sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative to build family-centered, group-owned cooperative businesses that guarantee our self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Thank you so much, folks. Be with us again next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.